Good morning. I just wanted to welcome you to Revolution today, whether you're here in the room or joining us online. I am so excited to get to spend this time with you guys today. In case we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Lindsay Preifogel, and I have the pleasure of serving as the NextGen Director here at Revolution. I have been married to my husband, Matt, the Connection and Digital Ministries pastor here, for almost 19 years. We have two kids, and they are the absolute joy of our lives. Gretchen is a sophomore at LHS, and she will be 16 in 2 weeks from today. And then Cooper, who is in seventh grade at LJHS, will be 14 in July. So now that we got that out of the way, happy Mother's Day. As I started preparing this talk, God just brought a whole bunch of people to my mind, and I just kind of want to acknowledge those people right now. Mother's Day isn't easy for a lot of people. If you're a young mom, today might have already been rough. Like, today just might not have, it might not seem as special as you thought it was going to. I know when my kids were little, not so special. But if you're a mom of a teenager, maybe you had to fight some bad attitudes to even get here this morning. And maybe you want to be a mom so bad, and it just isn't happening for you. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you didn't have a great mom. Or maybe you have a really difficult situation going on with your kid right now. And of course, there's all of the people out here that have already lost their moms. Mother's Day can be painful. So before we dive in, I would love to pray for you all. Dear Lord, right now, I just want to lift all of these people up that I just mentioned. For the moms who have had a crazy day already, I just want you to calm their hearts right now. And for those that have had a difficult situation with their mothers, for those who are struggling because they want to be a mom so bad that it hurts, and for those who have lost their mothers, I just want to lift them all up to you right now. Lord, just be with all of these people, no matter their situation. Give them your peace and let them know that you love them. Lord, we love you, and it is in your precious name that I pray. Amen. So, how many of you in the room or watching online got your mom some kind of flower today? I'm sure probably a lot of you. Well, that's wonderful because that's kind of the theme for today. If there is one thing that I want you to take away from today, it is that planting seeds matters. So right here I have a bowl and it's got a lot of seeds in it, okay? And I'm going to plant them throughout the message. I'm in youth ministry and that's what we call an object lesson. So here we go. Okay. Since it is Mother's Day, I want to take you back to the first day that I really felt like a mom. You need a little bit of backstory for this. When Matt and I got married, we had a 2-year plan. I am a planner, so that's just what we do, okay? So we were going to enjoy being a newly married couple for about 2 years, and then we were going to start trying to have a baby. So we went to Disney World on our honeymoon, and then we decided to go back there again on our second anniversary. So we went on this trip, and the whole week we were at Disney World, I was sick. At first, I thought it was a sinus infection, so we just spent $50 on the Sudafed in the Disney hotel, in our Disney hotel, and we just kept going on about our business. We rode the Rock and Roller Coaster about 20 times. We rode the Tower of Terror. We rode Space Mountain. Any ride that said, if you are pregnant, do not ride, we rode it. And then we got to the food court at the airport. And I realized that maybe it wasn't a sinus infection. I was so nauseous on that ride home. There was an incident with a chili dog and another passenger. And if you want to know that whole story, you can ask Matt after service. And that's when I realized that maybe, just maybe, I was pregnant. So that Monday, on my lunch break at work, I took a test. And there it was. I was pregnant. And then it all flooded in. That maybe I shouldn't have been on those rides. Maybe I shouldn't have taken that Sudafed. Maybe I should not have picked a fight with a guy eating a chili dog. I was so excited, but totally feeling like I was already failing as a mom. So for the next several weeks, even though I had a confirmed pregnancy test by my doctor, I didn't feel any different. I didn't feel like a mom. That was until one day I went to the bathroom at work and I was bleeding. And in that instant, it all flooded in. I didn't realize that I could love something so much. I called the doctor, I called Matt and my mom. My boss prayed with me in the vault of Salem Bank. And then I was off to the emergency room. For the next couple hours, we waited to get checked out and to have an ultrasound. I can still feel myself exhale the second we saw that little peanut on the screen and saw her heartbeat. That was the moment that I felt like a mom. I would love to say that it was smooth sailing from there, but that's not my story. My story is full of bad relationship choices in my teenage years that caused me severe anxiety and self-esteem issues. That anxiety affected nearly everything that happened in my marriage, me as a mom, and even me as a daughter. In fact, I want to talk about me as a daughter for a second. I was a strong-willed teenager, to put it nicely. I was a stubborn redhead that had to figure things out on my own, which meant that I made a lot of really bad choices and never really cared to listen to my parents' advice. For a few years, I really feel like my parents probably felt like they had lost their daughter. Now that I am the mom to a 15-year-old girl, it would just absolutely kill me if she acted the way that I did. But my parents didn't give up on me. During this time, my parents were starting to go to church more regularly, and they were working on their own relationship with God. And even though it seemed stupid to me at the time, I'm pretty sure that it eventually saved my life. Throughout the years, I dealt with anxiety off and on, sometimes very severely. By the time that Matt and I got married, it was pretty much under control. I would have an episode here and there, but for the most part, I was okay. He and I attended church occasionally. Sunday was our only day off together, so a lot of times we would just sleep in and make a big breakfast instead. And then the kids came along, and that's another good excuse to not go to church. Gretchen didn't like loud noises, especially singing at church, which is really funny if you know my family, because my kids are in four choirs and they're both in drama. It's loud all the time. And of course, I didn't want to just leave her with just anyone in the nursery. So the cycle continued. We attended church occasionally. Then along came Cooper. Life got more stressful and the cycle continued. During this time, Matt and I were disconnected. The constant stress of kids, work, and money problems just kept piling up, and so did my anxiety. The anxiety got worse, and our marriage did too. Matt didn't know how to handle me or help me, and I totally resented him for that. Someday, maybe I'll dive a little bit deeper into my journey with anxiety, but for today, you need to hear about the day that everything changed. April 15th, 2013, after struggling with the most intense anxiety attacks of my life for almost 2 weeks, I felt like I couldn't go on anymore. I went to bed that night and I cried out to God to help me. Actually, I was in such a bad place that I cried out to God to help me or to take me away. I was done fighting. This is what you would call my rock bottom moment. I was finally ready to let somebody else take over. I needed God to take my pain away. I needed God to help me breathe again. I needed God to save my marriage. I needed God to even feel like I could survive another day. And guess what? He showed up. The next morning, I woke up and I could breathe again. I have no doubt that that was finally the day that I accepted Jesus into my heart. The day that I finally understood what it all meant. Like Matt talked about last week, this was my all-in moment. Was my life completely fixed that day? No. No, it wasn't. But I finally had the answer. My eyes were finally open to the one thing that could fix everything. Jesus. After Jesus, my life is so much better. Is my marriage perfect? No. But after Matt and I finally got on the same page and put Jesus at the center of our marriage, we look to him to guide us. Do we get it right every single time? Absolutely not. Are we better with Jesus in our marriage than we were before? Absolutely. A lot of that has to do with us learning to pray for each other. So after Jesus, are we always perfect parents? Absolutely not. Do we still get mad at our kids sometimes? Of course we do. But now we're quicker to settle down. We're quicker to talk it out with them. We're quicker to ask for forgiveness when we as parents are out of line. Do we still worry about our kids? Of course we do. When they're struggling with something or have a big disappointment, we feel every bit of that, maybe even more than they do. Do we worry about their future? Of course we do. But Matt and I pray for our kids. After Jesus, is my anxiety totally gone? No. There are still days that I struggle. But now, every time I feel that tightening in my chest or that shortness of breath, I know right away that I'm trying to handle something on my own. I'm trying to give God the day off and act like my problems are too small for him. But you know what? None of my problems are too small for God, and neither are yours. So in those moments, when I realize that my anxiety is creeping back in, I pray. Not only do I pray, but I tell the people around me, like Matt or my mom, that I'm struggling, and I have them pray too. This is a perfect time to go back to a statement that I made earlier. Earlier, I told you that while I was struggling in high school, pushing my parents away, making bad choices, my parents started going to church more regularly. I said that even though at the time I thought that it seemed stupid, I'm pretty sure it eventually saved my life. The reason why I think it saved my life was because after Jesus, my parents figured out that the only way that they could really help their stubborn little redhead was to pray. I have no doubt that my parents learned that the one person that could save me was Jesus. So in the background, for 17 years, while they watched their daughter struggle, they prayed. My mom prayed and she prayed, and when that didn't work, she told her friends and they prayed, and she never stopped. And it finally worked. There are a few things that I feel like we can learn from all of this. Your past does not have to be your future. It is never too late to ask God for help. You don't always have to live in the life that you feel like you're stuck in. God loves you too much to leave you in the place that you're at now. I want to say that again. God loves you too much to leave you in the place that you're in now. When I think about the fact that my past doesn't have to be my future, I think of a passage from Romans. And this was written by a guy named Paul. I identify so much with Paul because before his after Jesus moment, he wasn't a great guy. He was actively going around throwing Christians in jail for what they believed. So if anyone can speak on making mistakes in their past, it's Paul. Of course, Paul did go on to plant a lot of churches, and he wrote a very large chunk of the New Testament. So in the beginning of this verse in Romans 5, it's kind of hard to understand. So more or less it says that when you've had your after Jesus moment, when you've decided to go all in, then you have the access to the grace and hope that you can only get through Jesus. I want you to pay attention to the second half of this verse, though. Romans 5, 1 through 5. In verse 3, it says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And the hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Even though what you went through in your past may have been hard, maybe you're like me and sometimes you really resent yourself for the mistakes that you made in your past. But because of that suffering, you have produced perseverance. And that is what helps you keep going. To be a better spouse, to be a better kid, to be a better friend, and of course, to be a better parent. You can learn from your mistakes. So no matter what you might have done in your past, no matter how unworthy you feel, your past doesn't have to be your future. So the next thing that we can learn from my story is that planting seeds matters. Matthew 13, 31 and 32 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, so that birds can come and perch in its branches." I love this because it shows that the tiniest of seeds can still grow quietly and persistently. Seeds of knowledge about Jesus can grow inside someone for a very long time. Going back to April of 2013, when I was at the end of my rope, my rock bottom moment, when I finally cried out to God to help me, how did I even know to do that? How did I know that God could help me? It was from seeds planted in me when I was a little kid. My parents didn't go to church a lot when I was little, but my grandparents did, and they took me to church. I remember going to church with my grandma, and she would always teach that little children's sermon that happened right before the regular morning message, and she told me about Jesus, seeds planted. All through my life, people told me about Jesus, and I didn't even realize what was happening. I would stay with my other grandparents, and I would watch my grandpa in the kitchen every morning, and he would read his Bible. Seeds planted. I went to church camp and vacation Bible school. Seeds planted. And guess what? Now, I'm in the business of planting seeds. As the next gen director, that's what I do. I don't actually teach every class. I don't get to talk to every kid every Sunday, but I do make this a place where my volunteers can. And so right now, while the kids are having a great time in next gen, making crafts, singing songs, all of that, they're also learning about Jesus, and seeds are being planted. The curriculum that we use for Next Gen is called Orange. They use the color orange to illustrate something very important about the church, which is representing the light of the world, or yellow, and the family, which represents unconditional love, or red. God designed the family to nurture the hearts of children. And God designed the church to shine the light of Jesus. And we can make a bigger impact in kids' lives if we partner together. Over the last few years, there's been a lot of transition in leadership in the Next Gen area. And that has caused some of those connections between church and home to take a back seat. But we're working on making those connections happen again through papers coming home, social media, and overall better communication. So look for that in the next few weeks. I am so excited to start combining the light of our church and the love of your homes to make a bigger impact in kids' lives. And this brings me to my final point. It is never too early, and it's never too late for your after Jesus moment. It is never too late to go all in. As I was preparing this talk, God kept bringing me back to the book of Matthew. Matthew is full of parables that Jesus used to teach people. He used simple, down-to-earth stories that were easy for people to understand. He also used children in a lot of his illustrations, like this verse. Matthew 18, 3 through 5 says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." You are supposed to have a childlike faith. You're just supposed to trust what the Bible says is true. But what if you're new to the whole church thing? Maybe you don't know a lot about the Bible. So talking to your kids about what they learn on a Sunday morning may actually be a little intimidating. I mean, what if they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to? What if they have actually been paying attention in Next Gen and they already know more about the Bible than you do? I want to tell you about how I actually learned so much about the Bible. I went to church off and on my whole life. I learned a story here and a story there, but I would never tell you that I knew the Bible. I'm also not a very strong reader, so to think that I could read and comprehend that whole Bible is way too much for me. So when Matt went into ministry in 2016, I started helping him with curriculum planning for a preschool church. I got this beginner's Bible right here. And this Bible is a lot like the Jesus Storybook Bible that we've been handing out for the past few months. So I just started going through every single story, and I would make lessons for every story. And I learned this Bible very well. I knew every story. I can still tell you every story and every Pinterest project that you can do with that story. But that's how I learned these stories so well. And it became like a Cliff's Notes version of the Bible for me. So I eventually did Bible studies and on my own and with other people. But finally, in 2020, I read this whole book, the whole thing, every word. And I finally connected the dots between every one of the stories in the beginner's Bible. But it all started with a children's Bible. So when we started handing out these Jesus Storybook Bibles earlier this year, I was really excited. What a perfect opportunity to start really diving into the Bible together as a family. If you went off the rails with your Lent reading plan because life happens, I encourage you to keep going. And if you already did the whole thing, I encourage you to start over. Your kids will never get tired of the epic stories that the Bible has to offer. And if you didn't pick up the Jesus Storybook Bible earlier this year, and now you wish you had, I have some great news. We have some more in the lobby today, and We have a suggested donation of $10, but if you can't afford that for any reason, no problem. We just want each one of these families, each one of our families, to have the opportunity to read this together. So parenting is hard work. I am so glad that we get to celebrate Mother's Day today, but because you moms really know this all too well, that it's hard. Every day is not fun. Some days you really feel like you're screwing it all up. But God gives grace to those who seek it. You will mess up sometimes. Maybe you already have. But remember that your past doesn't have to be your future. You can start to change things today. And of course, it's never too early for your after Jesus moment. When you decide that you're going to bring your kids to church and start making Jesus a priority in your home, it's also never too late for your after Jesus moment either. You can start small. You can start today. You can start with one prayer or one story in the Jesus Storybook Bible, but just get started. I promise that you won't regret it. And if there's one thing that I want you to remember from all of this today, it's that planting seeds matters. If you're a parent and you made the effort to bring your kids to church today, you're on the right track. Seeds are being planted. And if you're a volunteer in our Next Gen area, thank you. Even though some weeks are absolute chaos and you feel like there is no way that the kids are actually getting anything out of it, I promise you they are. Seeds are being planted. And the love that you show them each week matters. So even though you might not get to see what happens from all of the seeds that you've been planting, just remember that you are making a difference. And someday, those seeds will bloom. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you that you allowed me to give this message. I pray for each of the mothers out there. I pray for all of the parents out there. They remember that what they're doing right now matters. And that every single time that they make you a priority in their life, it matters and it's making a difference. I thank you for each and every person out here today. I just pray for everyone, and I just thank you so much for being with all of us. It's in your precious name that I pray. Amen.